It's time to get chiseled with Rob Hamadani.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chiseled. Why do we call it Chiseled? Because we're all a work in progress. Hello, everybody. I'm Rob Hamadani. I'm your host. I'm also the author of Better Than You Think. And today I have a guest with me, a friend of mine, Gary Adornado from the Perry Hall area, but he's actually now in Bel Air, Maryland. But I've known Gary since, let's just call it 15, 20 years now we met, but we went to the same high school together just at different times. Gary is an entrepreneur. He's a father. And he's a husband, and he's just a great all-around guy, salt-of-the-earth type of person, somebody you really want to know. But today, Gary is going to share with us a story of his journey of perseverance and how he had to have faith through some of these trials and tribulations as he's built his business and moving forward on his journey to success, let's call it. So, Gary, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
So, Gary, why don't you tell us a little bit of how this all started? Because it's a story, it's a journey, but you've had your ups and downs. Is that correct?
Well, we all have ups and downs in life. That's just part of the journey, right? I own a company called Varsity Sports Network. It's a media site. We cover high school sports. And it's a lot of fun because, like you, I have a great passion for sports. Grew up playing sports and you know, like every little kid had my dreams at one time of maybe being a pro. But once you realize that's not going to happen, if you want to stay involved in sports, you find different ways. And I've found a journey where I can go out and cover sports, cover high school sports. And I've covered some pros and colleges as well along the way. But this company is focused exclusively on high school sports. And you get out to watch some really good athletes. I mean, I've covered tons and tons of kids that have gone on to be big time Division I players and professional athletes. But most of them are like you and I, you know, their glory days are now, and they love, you know, to have a reporter come up and interview them, put them on camera and write their story, write about how they did in a game that night. And 99% of them love what we're doing for them. And it's just a lot of fun. So, I mean, as far as my journey, I went to Towson University. I majored in mass comm. And I guess when I was a junior, my cousin, Rafael Alvarez, who's a local author, worked on Homicide and worked at the Baltimore Sun. He's written a lot of books. He was at the Sun at the time. And he told me about an opportunity to work in the sports department, basically answering phones and putting what they call agate, which is the stats and box scores, in the newspaper. And I happened to start the very same day doing exactly the same thing with Mike Preston, who a lot of people know in town. He's still works at the Sun, covers the Ravens. We were on a high school sports team. Sam Davis, who's now one of the, I think he's a publisher with the Sun Papers now. He was our boss. He was the high school sports editor at the time. So I did that for 3 years and learned a lot about sports writing and writing in general, how a newspaper works, deadlines, and all that good stuff. And then I had a young family I had started. So I left because at that time there wasn't a great living to be made doing what I was doing. So I left and went to work in private industry in marketing, which is what I was trained in. I was writing and I learned desktop publishing when that came along, designing, you know, brochures and ads and things like that. And the second company I was with them for 4 years. It was a company based in Hunt Valley called Marcor, and they were an environmental restoration company. And I was their marketing director. And one day during the recession of 1992, they came to me and they said, "We've decided to save costs. We're going to outsource our marketing." That's not something you want to hear if you're the marketing director. Right. So I got laid off, and but I was fortunate. They did outsource a lot of their marketing to me. So I was doing that sort of on a freelance basis while I was looking for a job. And the economy wasn't great, so there weren't a lot of jobs to be had. But there were a lot of people I would meet along the way that said, "Hey, I have a menu for my restaurant. Can you design that?" "Sure." "I have some text I need to edit for a brochure. Can you help me with that?" So I was picking up all these miscellaneous jobs. And then I had a former colleague of mine asked me if I would go on retainer to do some work for them a few days a week. And it dawned on me, I can start a business. So I invested some money in some desktop equipment and started a company in 1992, I believe, yes, called Adias Communications, Inc. And the name is a play off of my name. Adornado was Adornado's Ideas, or Advertising Ideas, however you wanted to take it. Because everybody always said, what's Adias mean? Well, that's what it means. And I still have that company. I still do work for a very small group of people now, people that have been with me for a long time. And I do websites. I do copywriting. I do email marketing. A lot of different creative projects. Still do some graphic design with that company. But that's secondary to what I'm doing now. Just to speed it up a little bit, in the process of that job, I was doing a lot of work with a printer in Towson that's not around anymore called Junior Press. And it was run by the Marzullo family. And Matt Marzullo was the son of the founder, Lou. And Matt and I, he was a little younger than me, but we were both kind of a lot of similar interests. And he was doing a lot of printing in the sports industry. And I was doing a lot of graphic design in the sports industry. So he started to give me work. I started to give him work. And we had this idea that we could start a company specializing in sports. And we did. We had that going for a couple of years. We actually morphed into more of a sports events company. We did the Fan Fest for the Arena Football League. We did some professional tennis events. We did some NASCAR events. It was really cool. We had hired a guy that was really, his forte was events. But when 9/11 happened, all the money that, let's say a company would sponsor a race car, they would spend money with a company like us to promote appearances and things like that. All that money dried up, and we kind of looked around and we said, you know, how long is this going to be like this? Are we going to be able to make it? And so we decided the best thing to do was to close that business down and go back into what we were doing as our core businesses. But we did pick up one client during that time that stayed with me, and that was the MIAA, the Maryland Interscholastic Athletic Association, which is the private school, high school athletic programs in Maryland. Schools like our school, Curley, and Calvert Hall, and Loyola. It's a league of about 30 schools throughout the metropolitan area. And they had a website, and they wanted us to kind of manage that website. And I did. The first thing I thought about doing was putting some stories on there. I was thinking back to my days as a high school sports writer, and I didn't know it at the time, you know, how I would make any money with this website, but immediately the traffic came swelling in because people have a thirst for reading about their kids. And it doesn't matter whether the Sun Papers or Channel 45 or some other media outlet were covering the game. If I covered a game that your kid was in, you're going to read every story you could find about your kid. And so this thing kind of was blowing up, but back then, nobody was advertising on the internet. There wasn't really any way to make money with it. And it was the time I was spending was starting to take away from my other business.
Gary, if I can interrupt you, the time, this wasn't your bread and butter.
No, it really wasn't making any money at all. It was the kind of idea was if we were selling sponsorships for the MIAA, we would throw this in. You know, you get a banner on the website, too. But there was a company based here in Maryland called Digital Sports that had recently changed its name. It was originally called Sports Combine. It was founded by some guys, investors, guys that had played for the Washington Redskins, some other local media people. And they were struggling big time. And they were trying to franchise these sites all across the country. I won't go through all the details, but eventually they acquired my website. And I went to work for them for 3 years. And I was allowed to build out the Maryland operations so that we were literally a big time online newspaper covering high school sports in the area. I hired all the best writers away from all the local newspapers. And we were at one point ranked 39th in the country of all sports websites in terms of traffic per month. It was insane. And we were actually doing well. The problem with that company was they were trying to franchise these. They had operations in other cities, but not the same city. They didn't have anybody like me who knew how to run a business, who also knew how to write, and who knew how, had relationships with the schools and teams who could get the content in there. And so those operations were failing, and they were, you know, it seemed pretty clear they were making moves to try to sell off the company. I saw the writing on the wall and decided to leave in 2009. But a group of guys that had become, were started out as advertisers, became friends, they didn't want to see it end. Their kids were playing, guys like Greg Reamer, you know, and Rick Fabey. And we started to meet on a weekly basis and talk about the possibility of me doing this on my own. And long story short, we put a business plan together. Some of those guys invested. We found a couple other investors, and we launched Varsity Sports Network in 2010.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. What a journey, too. So I'm going back to, I think it was, you said, in 92 when you were working with the one company, and they said we're downsizing, but they still outsourced to you, right?
They did.
So that, and so you can see how the progression of this all takes place. And you had the 9/11 issue that came up, and that set you back. So but you kept persevering, you kept pushing forward. So all during this time, because we know Varsity Sports Network, there was times that it was up and down because you got to get the subscriptions and the viewership in there. And all through this time, this journey, you're going there. Like, are you like, God, when is this going to break out? Did that thought ever cross your mind?
There were at least three or four times where I thought probably the best decision is to shut it down financially. I mean, I was wondering how I was going to meet my bills each month, and I wasn't taking a lot of money out of it. But it seemed like every time I give you an analogy of like a plane coming in for a landing, it's almost ready to touch down and it goes back up. Well, that's the way I was. I was on the verge of it ending, and God would send something. You know, it was somebody would call out of the blue and want to advertise, or I made a call to the right person or met the right person, and it just kept going. And people love what we do, and you know, I just made it through the hard times. And I think, you know, talk about perseverance. I like to do a lot of walking, and you know, some days I'm less motivated than others. And then you look out across the road or whatever, it's a couple miles long, and that you're going to walk from one end of it to the other and then, you know, make your course. Well, to look out that long distance in front of you, it seems very daunting. It's like you don't want to go through with it, right? But if you look down at the ground, it's just the next step. It goes so fast. And that's,
oh, I love that, Gare. Love
and
that.
That's all I've ever done in my life is try to take the next big pass in small chunks.
So the next step, just taking the next step. I love that.
I just have to get to this point, and then I'll worry about how I get to the next point. And so, that's how I've gotten through life, personal life and business life.
So you're talking about that plane coming down for landing, like you're going to be done, correct? Yeah. So then what do you think was the, I know you said God would send something or something would happen, but what do you think was the resistance from letting it land, from like pulling the plug? Let's just say from pulling the plug. What kept you going?
I didn't want it to end. I didn't want to fail. You know, I believed in it. I liked what I was doing. I mean, I still do. All those reasons, you know, and there were times where I had opportunities. I was offered jobs. I just never wanted to give up on it. I did some side gigs, you know, with people and through my other company, and they'd say, well, why don't you come down here and be our writer or our marketing director? And I never wanted to let go of this because I had a passion for it, and I had a belief in it. And I know we're doing something good in the community. We have a mantra. We only do positive content. You know, in any walk of life, there are negative stories. I mean, sometimes we hear about kids getting in trouble or coaches doing the wrong thing. We choose not to do that. Not that it's not newsworthy. I mean, there's somebody out there that'll that'll write that side of the story. But these are high school kids, and we focus on the good and covering their games and keeping it to that level. So I feel like we've always done some good in our community. And I don't know. I mean, it's like anything. If I believe it's what I'm supposed to be doing, and God is constantly told me that by not letting me crash that plane. He maybe sometimes he literally lifts the plane up without me doing anything.
Do you get this feeling, or I should say, what's that feeling like that you may get when you're about to pull the plug and you said he just keeps lifting me up? It's like I like to refer to it as the Holy Spirit. I just know when the Holy Spirit's talking to me.
Right.
Is it something similar, like, you know, when God's talking to you, you know he's giving you some kind of message? Is that what it's like?
I feel that's true. I mean, you don't always get the answer like, God, make this happen, and it happens. But in time, you, at least for me, I always seem to find out why I went through what I went through and what it taught me, and helps me come through the other side. I'll tell you a real quick story about my faith and my relationship with St. Anthony.
Okay.
So
it's real quick. Tell everybody. I'm assuming it's got to do something with St. Anthony being a patron saint of.
Well, lost things. Yes.
Okay. Does it have anything to do with that or no?
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
So, I went to grade school at St. Anthony of Padua. Okay. 8 years. You know, I was a kid. You know, they tell you about St. Anthony. They, you know, tell you he finds you lost things. You say the prayer, maybe you find your keys or whatever. You know, I never got that deeply into it. And then, like you, I matriculated to Curley for high school, and I was shocked to discover that St. Anthony was actually a friar. He was a follower of St. Francis, just like the friars that taught us. So I thought that's really cool. So I went to a school, and now I'm going to his high school, or a high school that he's affiliated with. And then, you know, I graduated, went to college, and I didn't think about that much for a long time. So I told you I started my company in 92, and I was only doing it for a few weeks. And I was at a friend's house. It was a party in the summertime. And one of my old teachers from Curley was there, Father Martin Kobos. And Father Marty was from Buffalo, big, boisterous guy. You know, he was a lot of fun. And he's asking us all what we're up to. And so I told him, I gave him the 5-minute spiel about what I'm doing, and I gave him my business card. Didn't think anything more of it. 2 weeks go by. I'm sitting at my desk. I really don't have anything to work on. You know, there wasn't a project at hand. And my mother was a big follower of St. Anthony. She used to give me all kinds of trinkets and prayer cards and stuff. So there was actually a prayer card for St. Anthony sitting on my desk. And it was just a couple of paragraphs. You read the prayer, and in the middle of the prayer, you pause and you say the intention that you want St. Anthony to find for you. So I said, St. Anthony, find me work for my new business. This is a 100% true story. I've told it a million times. I finished saying that prayer. The card was in my hand. I set it down on my desk, and my phone rang. Instantly. I mean, the second the card touched the desk, my phone was ringing. So I pick it up, and who's on the other end of the line but Father Marty? And I said, Father Marty, what's up? What are you calling for? And he said, well, when we saw each other a few weeks ago, you gave me your business card, and I want to let you know I've just become the director of development for the Companions of St. Anthony. And the Companions of St. Anthony is the development group, the fundraising group for the friars, the same friars that taught us. Their headquarters are in Ellicott City. And he goes, I think I got some work for you. And I said, Father Marty, oh my God. So I told him the story. I just said the card. I prayed, and I put the card down on the desk, and here you're calling me. And he says, well, Gare, in his big voice, he says, not only did St. Anthony find you work, he's going to give it to you himself, because I was working for the Companions of St. Anthony. And I've been working for them for 30 years now. I can't believe it. But I've done newsletters twice a year. I do a lot of writing for their online email programs, a lot of praying work.
Yeah.
They've been a wonderful client, and I always love going down there because it keeps me connected to the Friars, who were such an important part of our lives. And that's a true story. And I could tell you, we don't have enough time, but I could tell you dozens of stories where St. Anthony has intervened. And it's God, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the whole team. But St. Anthony, I believe, is the guy that whispers in God's ear for me.
He's your guardian angel, so to speak, right?
So to speak.
That's a great story, Gary. I love that story. Yeah. There are no coincidences, right?
Exactly.
That's great. So take me back to the transitioning into the Varsity Sports Network. Obviously, you said it's guys. You didn't want to give up what you were doing, the websites. So what – and you may have said it. You kind of said it already. But what was the inspiration to do that, just that specifically, and to turn that into its full business, full-time business?
Sure. So I guess it was in January of 2009 – I pretty much knew they had replaced the CEO. They brought in someone who really didn't know sports, didn't know our business. It was clear that her goal was the board, the investors had brought her in to see if what she could salvage, make money from this business. And keep in mind that just a year and a half earlier, websites like ours, including Max Preps and Schedule Star, they all sold to big time media companies for in the neighborhood of $40, $50 million. And we had very similar offers from different media companies. And the board thought we were worth $100 million. So they passed on all that. And now they had waited so long, and then we had the housing crisis. I'm sure it affected you.
Right.
2008, when the big banks on Wall Street are collapsing, or all those bad mortgages that were out there. So that was what the impetus was. It was bringing this company down. So I could see it. So in January, I had a conversation with Rick Fabi. Rick was someone I had met years ago. My former partner introduced me to him. Rick was running his kids' soccer team, and he wanted to produce a program book, and he needed somebody to design it and put it together. So he called me. And I told him, I said, look, I just started this website. If you give me 15 minutes of your time to talk to you about sponsoring us, I'll do the book for free, whether you agree to sponsor me or not. So he invited me over to his office, and we were there 10 minutes, and he gave me a $5,000 sponsorship, and he insisted on paying for the soccer book. So, I mean, it made out, and Rick became a really good friend. He had two boys that played lacrosse. One was at McDonough, one was at St. Paul's. But at that point, they weren't even in high school yet. They both went on to play at Hopkins. They were really good athletes. And Rick loved the site. He believed in it, and he didn't want to see it end. So he kind of convened a group. That's how I met Greg. He brought Greg into the group. And we would meet at the Stone Mill Bakery every Friday morning at 6 a.m. I couldn't believe it. They wanted to meet at 6 a.m. And I was still working for Digital Sports at the time. And we discussed the possibilities. You know, do I want to do this? What would it take? When should I leave Digital Sports if I'm going to do it? And basically, the more we met, the more momentum this got. We put a business plan together. They advised me on a lot. These guys were all sharp business guys. And I got my first investment, and then we went out and met a few other people, got some more, never raised the amount of money that I thought it would take to get from point A to B. And I think that's part of the reason I struggled so much in those early years. I was underfunded, but I figured it out. I figured it out along the way, and, just took every day one at a time and worked really hard, late nights, early mornings,
And I know you were steady at it. I know that. We've had plenty of conversations over the years where you were pounding away at it, and it takes a lot of time, commitment, and faith. What does it mean what does it mean to you? Or maybe I'll ask the question this way. Over time, like, you're interviewing these kids, and you said earlier, what parent doesn't want to see a story written about their kid? So you're writing these stories about these kids. I'm sure that there's some meaning to the child or the kid, to the athlete. Have you ever had a parent come up to you and say, hey, man, that was such a great story. It meant the world to me to that you said this or that?
Absolutely.
Or you?
I get positive emails all the time. So you got teams that are really good and guys, kids that are being heavily recruited. They're used to it. They're getting talked to all the time. So it's not as special to them. But, you know, working for the MIA, we cover all their sports. So we'll go to a squash championship match. We'll go to swimming. We'll go, you know, boys sports, girls sports, because we do all the public schools too. And yes, for those kids and even the coaches sometimes who aren't used to getting coverage, they eat it up. They really eat it up.
So it's good for them. It's the encouragement or the affirmation of them, you know, to keep plowing away, doing what they're doing, coaching these kids and mentoring these kids is good for them, right?
Absolutely. And you know, we sometimes we'll do features and we'll learn their stories and some of the things they've overcome to just be able to play and be a part of a team. And that's why I love being part of the Unsung Heroes with McCormick, because they're honoring kids that aren't the stars. It's the kids that, you know, that are maybe don't even play that much, but they're contributing some way, shape, or form, and they're being recognized not only by their coaches. Now they're being recognized at this big event where they come to the event, and there's, I mean, through the years we've had Ray Lewis, Peyton Manning, Mary Lou Retton. I mean, you name it. They've been doing this for 75, 76 years. And, you know, back in the day before I was, Brooks Robinson, and you name it, all big stars come, Cal Ripken. They're the keynote speaker, and they really connect with these kids, and they make these kids feel like they are the star athlete, the, you know, the MVP. They get all dressed up, and we get there early, and there's a line for them in the lobby. We got a studio set up, and we bring them in, and we interview them for 2 or 3 minutes before they go into the event. Almost like a red carpet type of thing. And that's a lot of fun because these kids haven't probably been interviewed by a reporter ever.
So it means something to the kids. It means something to the parents. And what does it mean to Gary? Is it fulfilling, number one, and how fulfilling is it?
Yes. I mean, when I was a kid playing sports, you know, that was your dream, you know, to be recognized. And, you know, every once in a while when I wrestled, I'd get my name in the paper. And you know, I still have a couple of those clips to this day, and it's important and it's fun.
Well, that's good, Gary. Before we wrap up here, you had a story that just happened recently. We were talking about last or 2 weeks ago, and it's another story of faith and perseverance. If you could share with it in a couple minutes, just tell us what happened.
So on January 2nd, I woke up and I got a text from one of my writers that the site's down. So I jumped up out of bed, and yeah, it happens. Times little glitches, and it might go offline for a minute or two. And I did normal things I normally do. It didn't come back. So I got in touch with my IT guy. He said, I'll reboot the system. Didn't seem like it was that big a deal. And then it wasn't working. Nothing was working to bring the site back. And he said, looking at it, he said, I think your database is corrupted. I said, well, how can my database be corrupted? You know, did we get hacked? There was no evidence of that. There wasn't, like, you know, ransomware and these things you hear about. So we investigated a little further. And all my backups, you know, the site gets backed up every day. They're corrupted. So what does this mean? Like, he said, it's all gone. Like 11 years of stories and...
I can't imagine that feeling, but keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was stunned. And for a couple of days, you know, I immediately put a message up on my site that we're undergoing some maintenance. And it was kind of fortunate that week, a lot of schools, there was some snow, and some of the jurisdictions had paused their seasons because of the Omicron breakout. So there wasn't a lot of people noticing that we weren't there that particular week. And I got a couple more people to look at it, and they all came back with the same opinion. But I mean, I wasn't, they're all way smarter in this stuff than me, but I wasn't denying, but I was looking at my hosting server, and I could see it was still had 89 gigabytes of memory. So being used, I said, if that's not my data, you know, what is it? And they were saying, well, maybe it's error logs. And we were able to like download a couple of the backups, and we sent them to this company in California, which is supposed to be able to restore and rebuild these data. And they came back with the same thing. It's corrupt. There's no data here. So I'm on WordPress. So what was happening is the tables in WordPress, I mean, they were looking for the data, and it was saying it wasn't there. So, and because it couldn't see it. And so I thought for a minute, like, this is the end, you know, the plane was coming down again. And, but you know, there's some opportunities that were put on the table recently, that may happen in the next few months or so. And I thought, I cannot go out of business now. This is big time, you know? So when I thought it was coming back, and they originally told me we were going to lose everything from December 24th forward, that wasn't that big a deal. I still had a lot of the stories that we had done in my computer. So I got everything ready to be uploaded. And my guy says, well, maybe we should relaunch the sites in a different hosting company. So we did. We got the sites all set up, and I started putting these stories in. In a matter of a week, I had 80 stories in there. So I said, let's just make these sites live. And when we get this data back, or if we get the data back, we'll put it all back in. So I immediately pivoted. I have two sites, Varsity Sports Network and the MIA site, MIASports.net. And I literally rebuilt the entire winter season for basketball, wrestling, squash, ice hockey, the standings and schedules and scores in the MIA site. But I couldn't have done everything that quickly for all the public school leagues that I put in VSN. So literally the last week of January, the old hosting contract was going to be up, and I had to decide whether to renew it or not. And I was on a chat with these guys and on support. And I said, is there anything you would suggest that I try? And the guy said, well, why don't you just revert your server to default? That will push anything that's in there into a folder, an archive type folder, and you can re-import it back into your site if it's what you're looking for. So I tried 3 or 4 times to revert the server to default, and it kept failing. And so I get back and went to this guy, and he says, the reason it's failing is because your server is using too much memory. So I asked the logical question, how could my server be using too much memory if everything's been deleted? So he does a query, and he says, well, these files are taking up the most memory. And it was a list of 5 files. And if you look at the file, there's a thread to where it is inside the server. It was deep inside the server. There were backups from December 1st, November 1st. It was like all of 2021 was there. And I'm telling you, I had 4 different experts tell me I was done. It was over. And the only person that I had telling me to keep going was God. And, you know, and my wife. And in the back of my mind, there was always a sense of ease. Even though I was a wreck, there was also this ease that I was going to figure it out. And if I wasn't going to get my data back, God was going to tell me why and tell me what I should be doing next, or how I move from this point forward. And darn if we didn't get those backups. And my IT guy tried to load them, and he says, well, they are legitimate backups, but there's all these syntax errors. They won't run. So I sent it to another guy, and he encoded it, and he got it running. And we got it in the server. I'm still in the process of re-importing all that data back in, but I got it all back. It's amazing. It's St. Anthony found it. It's, you know, God bless me. You know, I don't know.
That's a great story.
Persevere.
It's a stories of perseverance and faith. And just keep moving forward. Yeah, that's some awesome stuff there. Thank you for sharing all this. So, I mean, you've been impacted yourself. You're impacting kids. You're impacting parents, and you're impacting businesses. So it's, well rounded with everything you're doing. So, Gary, before you leave us, always got to ask this question to all my guests. And the question is, how much more chiseling is there to go in Gary Adonato's life?
I think forever. I don't think we're ever perfect. So, God bless me, to meet a wonderful woman. I got married last year. My life is so much different than it was when you first met me. And it'll be different in 10 years. It'll be different until the day I die. I'm going to constantly evolve. I constantly want to learn things. I think I keep my faith strong, and I'm just ready for whatever comes my way.
You let God keep chiseling away at you, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, Gary, before we go, if you tell everybody if they want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of Gary Adonato, whether it's a high school sports team, whether it's a parent, whomever, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. I guess the easiest way is to email me. My website is varsitysportsnetwork.com, and my email is simply gary@varsitysportsnetwork.com. I'm easy to find. LinkedIn, Facebook, you can find me around anywhere. And if there are any businesses out there that would like to connect with our audience, we'd love to hear from you. Any parents out there that have a story that they'd like to see told about their child, we'd love to hear from you.
Is that nationally or just locally?
It's locally, but one of the opportunities I alluded to is I may have an opportunity to partner with a national group.
That's crazy. That is, and I believe it'll happen for you. If that's what you want to happen, I'm sure God's going to make it happen some way, shape, or form. So anyway, Gary, thanks so much for the inspiration today and the stories and just the connection with God and Holy Spirit and how it's made your life and developed and created and have your life evolve into what it is. We appreciate it. I'm sure everybody else listening is going to appreciate it. So I'm grateful for that, and thank you. And until next time,
opportunity to be here. Yeah.
Oh, Gary, that's great. And we're friends. We're going to go out and get a bite to eat or drink at some point soon. And I just appreciate you. And until next time, everybody, let's go get chiseled.
You just got chiseled with Rob Pondari. Be sure to like this podcast, share it with your friends, and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Also, you can find Rob's book on Amazon, Better Than Equal.